by transcription.
The peninsula of Greece is currently one of the world's big news stories. But what is actually happening there? Is American relief aiding the Greek people in their struggle for survival? Last Friday, Eugene Clay, economic advisor to the American Mission for Aid to Greece, returned to the United States on a short visit for consultation after several months of observing conditions in Greece. This evening from Washington, he discusses the present fight for survival in Greece. Mr. Clay.
I have just arrived from Greece on a short visit to report to the State Department on recent developments, and I shall try to summarize for you conditions there as they look to me. The Greek nation is fighting a desperate battle for survival, and I believe I have had as full an opportunity as anyone to understand and appreciate what is involved. I work daily in close cooperation with the Prime Minister, Mr. Sifoulis, the Deputy Prime Minister, Mr. Salderis, the economic ministers, and the other ministers of the Greek government. I know these men well and the problems that they must face. I know their faults and weaknesses. I also know their virtues, and I believe them men of good will. Greece fought a heroic war against the Italians and Germans, and she was then ground down by a ruthless occupation. With liberation, the people of Greece at least expected an opportunity peacefully to rebuild their nation. This alone would have been a gigantic task. Greece before the war had next to Albania the lowest standard of living in Europe. The soil is rocky and unfertile, and there's only 3/4 of an acre of arable land per person. Industry was small and undeveloped. Even these meager resources, however, were drastically damaged during the course of the occupation. Over 200,000 buildings were destroyed. Communications were almost entirely disrupted. Productive facilities were greatly reduced. The soil was depleted by lack of fertilizer and other necessary agricultural supplies. Almost all livestock was lost. Irrigation works and flood controls were destroyed. The government administration was completely disorganized, and inflation rendered Greek currency worthless. Instead of peace and security in which to rebuild, however, Greece is faced with a guerrilla war led by a small communist minority. This small minority intends to perpetuate economic chaos and poverty, favorable to the communists obtaining control of Greece. The guerrillas are terrorizing large parts of the country. The main guerrilla activity is along the borders of Albania, Yugoslavia, and Bulgaria. The guerrillas, however, are also active in large areas in central and southern Greece. Roads are unsafe for passage. Farmers are afraid to continue with their work. Bridges and other facilities are destroyed. Villages are burned and the inhabitants murdered. Young men are forced to serve with the bandits under threat of death to their families. And there are many instances where these threats have been actually carried out. The question is continually asked why the Greek government, with an armed force which outnumbers the guerrillas 6-1, has not been able to eliminate this menace to security and independence. The answer lies in the mountainous terrain and the assistance given to the guerrillas by the communist governments to the north. When attacked, the guerrillas disappear into the mountains and scatter. Many of them simply resume civilian activity, and the villagers have been so terrorized that they are afraid to report them to the government authorities. The guerrilla forces in the north of Greece simply retire across the border, where they recuperate, are re-equipped, and then re-enter Greece at another point. As is stated in the report of the United Nations Commission, the three northern neighbors of Greece encouraged, assisted, trained, and supplied the Greek guerrillas in their armed activities against the Greek government. A great number of Greek troops are also tied down to protect towns and villages from guerrilla raids, which has greatly reduced their ability to fight an offensive war. I do not say that the Greek army perhaps could not have done more with its present number and equipment. It is to be remembered, however, that the Greeks have now been at war for 7 long years. They are tired, and more in the way of equipment and numbers is perhaps required than might otherwise be necessary. The guerrilla warfare has also resulted in a serious refugee problem. Over 400,000 farmers and other inhabitants of small mountain villages have been driven from their homes and are crowded into larger villages and towns, which are already short of food, clothing, and housing. The care of these people places a staggering load on the Greek government, and the welfare services of the government were completely unequipped to care for them. The Greek nation has been through two ruinous inflations during recent years, and there is a continual and desperate struggle to prevent the present pressures again breaking through into another ruinous spiral of inflation. There's a scarcity of goods and a lack of confidence in the future. There is the terrific burden of the refugees, of almost 1.5 million unemployed, and the heavy internal costs of a large army. The wheat crop is 1/3 below normal, and it has been impossible to find adequate export markets, with a resulting severe shortage of foreign exchange. Many of the ministers work 12 to 16 hours a day, which I can personally vouch for because I work these hours with them. The government structure under these men, however, is in many instances woefully weak, and it is practically impossible for the ministers to have their decisions and plans implemented into effective action. There have been charges that the government is rotten and not interested in the welfare of the poor people of Greece. This is not true. Inability to have decisions effectively carried out, however, sometimes gives the false impression that the government does not wish to do everything possible to sustain and support the poor people of Greece. One example which is continually cited is the distribution of the necessities of life to the areas outside of the big cities. The government distribution system was created by the Red Cross during the occupation and by UNRWA following liberation. This system was established on an emergency basis and over a period of time has become bogged down by red tape and divisions of responsibilities, and in many instances has been inadequate to carry out the difficult task of assuring equitable distribution to the remoter areas of Greece over roads, which are frequently cut by the guerrillas. You may wonder today why conditions are as bad as I have pictured when the American Mission for Aid to Greece has been on the job for 6 months. In fact, however, great progress has been made. Greece remains a free, independent, and democratic nation. Without United States aid, she would have long since come under communist domination. The army is being equipped and increased in strength so that there can be assurance that it will be able to handle the guerrilla situation. A National Defense Corps of 50,000 men is being organized. These men will be used to protect the villages and towns from bandit raids and will free the Greek National Army to undertake an all-out offensive against the bandits. Commando forces have been trained and are ready to take the field on a mobile basis to harass the bandits on every side. All necessary equipment is being made available. This has required the transfer of some $23 million from aid funds designated for economic purposes to the Program for Military Assistance to supplement the $150 million originally allocated for military aid. There, however, cannot be any real economic recovery in Greece until security has been reestablished. The objective on the economic side has been to hold the line and to lay the foundation for the future. The Greek government, with the assistance of the mission, has been successful in obtaining this objective. The threat of runaway inflation has been held in check, and the economic reforms considered essential by the mission have been developed in detail by the Greek government and now in the process of being fully implemented. The welfare services of Greece have been reorganized. A refugee program is now in operation which should ensure that the minimum needs of the refugees are provided for. The budget has been brought into balance, and effective expenditure controls are in operation. The tax system has been reorganized, and as a result, tax receipts have increased over 40%. Currency reforms have been instituted. A foreign trade administration has been established, which assures that only the basic necessities of life are imported into Greece, and that foreign exchange is not wasted on luxury or semi-luxury items. The banking system has been reorganized, so that the central bank, for the first time, has the power and authority to regulate the credit policies of the banks of Greece and to ensure that credit is used for productive purposes and not for speculation. A reorganization of the distribution and transportation system has been worked out in detail, and the necessary legislation is now being drafted. The establishment of this new system will be a major task, and several months will be required at best before the system is in effective operation. The objectives are to decrease distribution costs, to ensure an equitable distribution of available supplies throughout the country, and to extend rationing and price controls to the basic necessities of life, which are in short supply. At the same time, the government, with the assistance of the mission, has worked out a procedure for the rapid disposal of UNRWA stocks, which were on hand at the time of the arrival of the mission. The clothing and shoes have almost entirely been distributed, with almost the entire supply going to the refugees and to the people outside of Athens. A good part of the other supplies have also been distributed, and the rest are in the process of being cataloged and put on display for sale. Free collective bargaining has been reestablished for the first time in many years, and labor is being consulted on the development of rationing and price controls. Even the unfortunate anti-strike law is scheduled for early repeal. It must be said, too, that the one strike that has been called since the enactment of this law did not result in the government rushing to enforce its harsh terms, but rather to explain that the strike was not really a strike and that therefore the law was not applicable. A serious effort is also being made to increase the efficiency of the government services. Primary effort at this time is being placed on the reorganization of the Ministry of Supply, the Ministry of Finance, the Ministry of National Economy, and the Ministry of Welfare. At the same time, reconstruction is being pushed forward, although the scope has had to be somewhat reduced in order to make additional funds available for the armed forces. The clearing of the Corinth Canal is almost completed. Work is in full progress on repair of the main ports of Piraeus and Salonika, and work will soon begin on the port of Volos. Over 1,000 miles of roads between main cities are being rebuilt, and the main railroad line between Athens and Salonika will again be in operation before this present program is finished. Almost 20,000 homes have been repaired or built. The irrigation works and flood controls, which were destroyed during the occupation, are being restored, which will return thousands of acres to production. An extensive well drilling program for the purpose of small-scale irrigation is well underway. Machinery and equipment to meet the most urgent requirements of industry and mining are being imported. Small canning and process plants to preserve perishable surpluses are being constructed, and at least a good start is being made on improving the health services of Greece. There is still a long ways to go, and Greece, without our assistance and help, cannot survive as an independent nation until she has been able to rebuild and utilize her resources, and the threat of communist domination has been eliminated. Additional economic aid to Greece depends upon the European Recovery Program. The European Recovery Program, however, does not provide for military aid. And if Greece is to carry the war against the communist guerrillas to a successful conclusion, continued and further military assistance is essential. The day I left Greece, the Prime Minister, Mr. Sifoulis, said to me that he hoped that the people of the United States fully realized the gratefulness of the Greek people. He said that he, of course, considered Greece as an important factor in the foreign policy of the United States, but that the very existence of Greece as a free and independent nation depended on the successful outcome of this present struggle for survival, which would be impossible to obtain without the assistance of the United States.
From Washington, Columbia has brought you Eugene Clay, economic advisor to the American Mission for Aid to Greece, discussing fight for survival in Greece. This has been another of Columbia's many programs brought to you regularly to keep you informed on matters of public interest.
The preceding program was transcribed. This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.